This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next on Plains FM, we have Movie Talk, a program for all things cinema-esque, for the discerning film and video junkie.
Welcome again to Movie Talk. Today we'll be looking at the ultimate revenge movie, Cold Pursuit, and the early years of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's legal campaign for women's rights in the United States in On the Basis of Sex. We'll also be talking to Helen Mann of the Canterbury Film Society, which starts this year's screenings on Monday.
Speedo Viking Eskimo.
It's a gangster thing.
Did you have a nickname?
Wingman.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna kill him.
Liam Neeson stars in Cold Pursuit, which turns out to be a darkly comic parody of revenge films. Ian Cumming's been off to the Reading Cinemas at the Palms to see this intense movie in which a couple of dozen people meet their deaths in very violent ways. Ian, what did you think of Cold Pursuit, which can best be described as a satirical killer thriller?
Well, I wasn't expecting quite so many laughs and chuckles from the audience and myself and you.
Yeah,
you
know, we, every time somebody gets killed, you laugh.
Well, there are some other things there, but what you have to do with this film really is to suspend belief, you know.
It's quite absurd, actually.
And inverted commas, enjoy it if you like the brutality and the increasing body count and indeed the way he disposes of people.
Yes. Oh, yes, he's got quite a variety way of killing people.
Well, I know, sure. And of course it's ridiculous. I mean, he actually assassinates somebody all dressed in pink, this camp guy who's running a wedding gown shop, right?
Oh, yes.
And he shoots him in there, and there's pink blood, there's red blood in the pink and
all over these lovely wedding dresses.
That's right. And you think, how the hell did he get the body out of there? And, you know, you don't worry about that sort of thing. So you just sit back, really, and enjoy it. It's interesting to compare it with the original in Order of Disappearance, which I saw at the film festival
in
2014.
Yeah, because this is made by a Norwegian film director, Hans Peter Moland, and he made this other one in 2014 in Order of Disappearance.
Yeah,
and that was shown at the film festival.
That was shown at the film festival,
and I
really rated it, you know. To a degree, I knew what was happening. I mean, it was done
is
much...
Is it basically the same?
Essentially, it's the same, but there's a hell of a lot more... there's more deaths in it for a start. And there's more body counts, but it's actually more. I think you used the term comedic. It's dark comedy in many ways. It's a brutal thriller, and you know, in the lines of Tarantino or the Coen brothers. You know,
well,
films
this
like
is it. I got the feeling very much that this is a film that Tarantino could have made. One of those in which he's got a group of people all together in one place and they're all killing each other off and that sort of thing. It's got that same sort of a feel. Except this one just goes on and on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a sort of film, if you remember back to Fargo, the Coen brothers' Fargo, and that had some real surprises in it, you know. And so there's sort of an homage, I suppose you could say, to that. But the humour in it, there's the boy who's inverted commas, what's the word, kidnapped by the hero.
Oh, this is the son of the sleazy
exactly.
top villain.
It's interesting, I was wanting to know his name. He doesn't appear in the credit lists. He doesn't appear in the credit list on IMDb or anything. I gather, whatever his name is, doesn't really matter. But he's a boy who doesn't like rock music. He likes classical music.
Oh, yeah.
And he has a line for Liam Neeson, which is rather funny. Mm. Well, have you heard of the Stockholm Syndrome?
Yes, it is.
And the other thing, the way he disposes of the body, and he explains at some stage, he puts them in chicken wire, not in plastic, so that the fish can get at the flesh, and then there'll be nothing left for, you know, identification.
Yeah, so the soul body won't get air, gas in it, which makes the body float to the top of the river again. Yeah, very good thinking. But, I mean, this the whole thing is hard to believe, you know. It's what you're watching.
Well, yes. Well, as I said, you had to suspend belief because,
yes. It took me about two or three deaths to twig on, but you'd see somebody violently shot or something. Yeah. And then the black screen, you'd get a name on top and a silly sort of a weird nickname underneath.
That's exactly.
And you wonder, oh, now, is this what's this guy, or is that what's going to happen next? I wasn't quite sure.
For that's right.
And then I realised that each time somebody got killed, they put his name up on
that's
the
right.
screen.
With his rather silly nickname, you know, yeah. which they have these silly nicknames for the gangsters or the ones who get killed. it's some stunning subalpine photography there, the snow plow and things.
This is amazing. This is the hills and mountains around Denver, Colorado. That's beautiful country. Even actually that city, Denver, comes out very nice looking place.
Though it's got unnice sort of people running the cocaine industry in the town.
Well, we haven't given that much away about the plot. But Liam Neeson plays, he's a father whose son is killed by the drug people. And he's out for revenge, and that's all you need now, isn't it?
Well, exactly right. Yeah. Yes, he's the comparisons with the other film, they're essentially the same, and as you said, the director is the same, but he's actually put a lot more humour into it. But I got a bit annoyed early on after the death of his son. They didn't have much communication, husband and wife. They slept that sort of. Anyway, quickly, Neeson's son played his son in this film. Michael Richardson's his name.
Oh.
And Liam Neeson's his wife who got killed skiing. Oh. I think her name was Miranda Richardson. So Kyle, in this film, Michael Richardson, is his son.
So it's all family film.
It's not family orientated, though.
Okay, well, thank you, Ian. That was Ian Cumming with his views on Cold Pursuit, and I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9. I'd like to thank the sponsor of the show, the Harcourt's Grenadier Accommodation Centre, which is now located at 98 Morehouse Avenue. If you're looking for a place to live, check out the Harcourt's Accommodation Centre website, www.assetmanagers.co.nz. That address again, www.assetmanagers.co.nz. With me now is Helen Mann of the Canterbury Film Society to tell us of the upcoming year of screenings of a wide range of notable films, which will begin this Monday, February the 18th, at the Christchurch Art Gallery in Montreal Street. Helen, before we get onto some of the highlights of the year, can you tell me how people can obtain membership?
Kia ora, Hans. It's lovely to be here. Thank you. Yes, membership has never been simpler, really. In a nutshell, people can go online. We have very clear directions how to download a form. They can fill in the form online. They can pay online, either by bank credit or by credit card. So that's simple. But for those who don't like computers or don't have access, they can just turn up to the art gallery.
Yep.
We open our doors half an hour before the film starts.
This is Monday night,
usually. Every Monday night, 7 o'clock, and you can bring cheque, cash, or pay by FPOS. So there's a number of ways.
Well, to me, the important points are that it's not just as it used to be that you become a member at the start of the year, then for the coming screenings over the coming 10 months or so, the rest of the year. But now you can join at any time of the year and get a 12-month membership.
That's right. So we've had a rolling membership for a while now, but you're quite right. Some of the other 13 societies have a fixed term. Mm. So no, we have a number of full membership options. A full one, which is for brand new people, returning and senior. We have youth, which is high school, tertiary. And then we have half-year options this year, which is very good for people. That is a fixed thing, February to June, July to November.
Oh, yeah.
But that will, that's still good.
Or you can just get a flexi pass, which will take you into three films, three
that's
sessions.
Right. Any three, you can share them amongst your buddies, come with a friend. So it's still, that's the most expensive price we have, which is still $10 a ticket.
So that's only about $3.30 for...
that's right, full membership
film.
Works out
and
to
that's
about
the most expensive.
$10 a ticket works out if you buy the three film pass, three for 30, that's the most expensive. Mm. But
so everything else is cheaper to see a movie.
Yeah, it is
well,
cheaper.
Okay, yeah. That's fair enough.
It is a fantastic deal.
Now, what else do you know?
Well, unlike the cinemas, of course, we've got some fantastic arthouse theatre in the city, and you get to choose your day and your time and so on. So we are a fixed time, Monday 7:30 at the Art Gallery, starting Monday the 18th, as you've said, and finishing on 11th of November. We have 35 films on our curated menu this year. A number of really interesting categories. Our first night is a gala night. Yes, it is members only, but we warmly welcome new members in all the way that you've just said. This will be a film with Gloria Swanson's Cecile DeMille, and we're choosing a Billy Wilder film, 1950, called Sunset Boulevard, which is a Hollywood noir, and we'll bookend our season with Mulholland Drive, another Hollywood noir, and in between we have got some glorious things. Right, next two weeks, or events after the gala night, which starts at 6:45, and anyone who turns up as a new member or our current members will get a free drink, free glass of wine or beer, and nibbles. Our two free events come up straight after, so the following Sunday 24th of February at 2 p.m, Monday 25th of February, 7:30 p.m, we have lured back to New Zealand, United States, a documentary maker. He specialises in anti-war documentary. His name's Daniel Bernardi. He was seconded to University of Canterbury Cinema Studies for some time. Mm-hmm. He's come back and he's offered us a New Zealand premiere of his first feature film, The American War, which is the subtitle From the Hearts and Minds of the Viet Cong. We'll be showing two short documentaries with that. The Battle Scars, which is a Sunday event, again open, is six anti-war documentaries from people from all walks of life.
So this is automatically open to
Absolutely.
Members?
Anyone can come. You can give membership. A gold coin or 10 cents or walk in free or give $5, whatever. We say koha, and we're going to give Daniel a small gift because we appreciate him coming over at no cost to us, but he will have expenses, so we will give koha to him, but people are welcome to come for free.
Two free
events.
Well. Yes,
and both we don't get a lot of documentary in the city, and in some ways we don't get the documentary edge first of all, so these are one-offs. They won't come back. It's a bit of a lead up to Anzac as well, because there is a slight anti-war. That's part of the message, that we're hearing stories from people on all sides, not just both sides. I won't use that term, but we're listening to the Viet Cong, we're listening to French Air Force pilots, there's a whole range of voices, and I think Bernardi is an extraordinary documentary maker and a dynamic speaker, and he'll run Q&A at the end.
Oh, good. Mm. Yeah. Mm. It's absolutely amazing. So also within, before the Action Film Society, before the first screening, you'll have these booklets and things, the programs available around town.
Yes, that's a good point. Thank you. We have a beautiful brochure coming out. It's going to be in metallic blue, easy to find, with Nicole Kidderman's profile on the front. So from next week, they should be in the public libraries and the art gallery. Our brochure, online printable brochure, will be available from tomorrow onwards. What else can I say? And, of course, people can turn up as well and get all the information they need.
Yeah. And, of course, you've always got a wide variety of films. I mean, to me, there's usually there's a few that stand out to me, films which I remember having seen, say, 30 or 40 years. It could be Mulholland Drive or Hiroshima Mon Amour or something like that. And think, oh, yes, I remember that one. Must see that one again. There's that kind of thing. Then the documentaries that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And films from all around the world as well.
Yes, that's our signature. Really, we want to. We're open to global cinema. We want to provide something for everybody. We all know, you and I both know, we can't please everybody all the time, but we have our membership that starts from our probably youngest is 16 and our oldest would be nearly 90. We, you know, have a large number of ethnicities and cultures. Film is a very unifying thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And so, you know, we have something for everyone is what I'm saying.
So the important thing is get hold of the booklet where, that lists a whole schedule of filming, screening schedule and study that. Okay.
I think so. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Helen.
Okay.
That was Helen Mann of the Canterbury Film Society, which starts this year's screenings at the Christchurch Art Gallery in Montreal Street this Monday. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9.
There are 178 laws that differentiate on the basis of sex.
Women can't work overtime.
We have to get credit cards in our husband's name.
We're not allowed to work in
something. This is a man's world.
You think you can change the country? You should look to her generation. They're taking to the streets.
Protests are important, but changing the culture means nothing if the law doesn't change.
Who did you say your name was?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
On the Basis of Sex tells the story of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's struggles for equal rights for women, leading to her eventual appointment as a justice on the United States Supreme Court. Carolyn Brown's been off to the Academy Cinemas at the Colombo Shopping Mall to see this true story of a pioneer of social change. Carolyn, do you think On the Basis of Sex does justice to RBG?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it does. It really had me gripped. It's a good courtroom drama, the second half of the film. And I also think it, because the documentary came out last year and
RBG,
which was brilliant.
Yeah.
And how this differs from it, it still paints that she's just an incredible woman. But it was more about the people around her as well and her family and how she came to be who she was. And that's what I enjoyed about this film. It is based on fact. There's a couple of things in there that didn't happen.
Like what?
I'm not going to say. You have to go and Google it afterwards as well.
Okay.
But the screenwriter explained why they did that, and that kind of made sense why they kind of changed a couple of little things. They were just minor, but anyway.
Oh, I see.
But the film itself, I really enjoyed it. It was,
Well, you point out to me that the screenwriter Daniel Stiebelman is actually RBG's nephew who took on this, and she, when she saw the film, she has okayed the whole film.
Yeah, she took part in this. She got to say yay or nay to the script, and so he approached her and said, "I want to do a film of your life because you're so awesome," and. And so he wrote the script and gave it to her to look over, and she approved it. And also the daughter, Jane, approved it as well. And I can't help but thinking that the nephew had a little bit of a crush on his cousin because she comes across really well in this film.
Oh, I see.
And yet Ginsburg's son, it doesn't really feature much at all. It's very much about the relationship between mother and daughter and husband and wife, and the son's just extra.
That is a beautiful – well, it's not just a touch. It's a beautiful – an important point in the film is the wonderful relationship between RBG and her husband, Marty, played by Arnie Hammer, and because he is so supportive of her.
Yes, which is he copped a lot of flack for that at the time as well, especially since he was cooking dinner and stuff. But they were both a couple way beyond their time, really. And you can, and it's really also interesting the relationship between the mother and daughter, with the daughter growing up in a generation that is completely different to the mother what she grew up in
as well.
And her mother trying to understand, where her daughter's coming from.
Yeah, when she started her studies at Harvard University, and the university had only been doing that for 6 years that they would accept women to study becoming a lawyer.
Yeah.
And, so she was in fairly early, and you see her in the film starts basically on the scene of her turning up for one of the first sessions, all surrounded by men.
Yes.
And it's only after they sit down in the classroom there that she looks around and sees about half a dozen other
women in
yeah.
there.
And there's an interesting part where they're sitting at the dinner table. They've been invited to dinner, all the females, the nine females who were accepted to Harvard. And there's a scene there with Ruth saying something, and that is actually true. It's on record that she did say that, and it's just totally unbelievable that she got to say that. But it is a really good film about social change and that time in America in the 70s.
Well, that social change is still going on now. And, I mean, that is an amazing thing that she was finally did actually become a Supreme Court
yes.
judge.
Well, justice. If anyone was going to, it was her. She just one of those people that runs on no sleep. The one thing that annoyed me about the film, though, it is because it is American, it was very much an American audience, is that they used an acronym of ACLU, and I kept on thinking, I spent half the movie trying to work it out. It's the American Civil Liberties Union, mm-hmm. and it was actually founded, quite notably, Helen Keller was one of the first board of directors. Uh-huh. So it's actually a really important union in the States,
yeah,
and they did do a lot.
For women's libs.
But that was just one little thing that annoyed me in the film, was they kept referring it to as ACLU.
I mean, and the ironic thing, or the first civil liberties case that she took on was actually, it's about gender discrimination
against men, yes.
And in this case, it was a man who was getting a rough time.
Yep.
He wasn't getting a fair deal, and she took this on, but fully knowing that if she could find gender discrimination in these laws.
Yes.
That they would also, of course, then apply to the women.
Yeah.
And she could turn, she's helping
around,
a man,
yeah.
but by the logic behind it was that this would expand the whole thing wide open
and it's
anyway,
one of the tenets,
and for the help of women.
Yeah, it's one of the tenets of feminism as well, that it's equality for both genders, not just for women.
Of course, yeah.
So where men are discriminated against as well, those laws shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed this film.
I can believe that. Yeah.
And it was really good having seen the documentary first as well, and then seeing this one as well.
Yeah. I mean, they kept out some things that I found quite fascinating, or that get mentioned in the documentary we saw last year, that showed some time that she did some research for international civil procedures in Sweden. She was over there for quite a while, about a year or quite.
Oh, was she? Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know if it was a whole year, but this is back in the 1960s, and she went there where she learned how gender equality worked in another country.
Oh, that would have been nice to have had that in the film.
Yeah, and of course this is a lot of this is what she brought
they'll
back home again.
They'll just have to do another one.
Yeah, what a third RBG movie.
Yeah, bring it on.
Okay, who are you going to have playing her in that one?
Well, I thought Felicity Jones did quite a good job of playing her.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, she's a likeable personality.
Yes, yeah.
But, a cute, likeable personality.
Stature, yeah.
But nevertheless, you can feel that inner intellect and strength in her also that comes through, and she's in there to win this game.
Her upbringing kind of founded that. But.
Okay, well, you recommend this to the men as well?
Absolutely.
Okay,
go and find out how bad America discriminates against men.
Okay, thank you. That was Carolyn Brown with her views on the basis of sex. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9, saying goodbye until next Wednesday.